This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan, asking the question right now. Sure, Cowboys offensive line is full of talent, but do they have the dogs they need on the offensive line to take this thing to the next level, or perhaps keep it at the level that it's been? Could it be Lyle Collins, who is the dog that you need? And this is all based off of a conversation from Wednesday night, the Cowboys Hour, hosted by the lovely David Hellman. And Corey was there alongside with Darren Woodson. And Darren Woodson was kind of talking about some of the personality traits of some of the 90s and 2000 Cowboys offensive linemen.
I've always been a believer that, and Tyler said it earlier, you know, you got to have some dogs. You got to have some guys that are just flat out people you probably wouldn't hang out with outside. You do. Uh-huh. You're honest. You know, we had Charles Haley. Not everybody hung out with Nate like they do nowadays, but Nate wasn't always the nicest guy.
So you're not always looking for the right kind of guy? Is that what you're saying?
No. I mean, there's got to be some guys that upset. Look, I've been a firm believer that in order to have some success, you got to be disruptive.
Yeah.
In any part of life. You have to be disruptive. And there has to be someone who is going to break things to get it right. Mm-hmm. Jimmy was a guy who broke things to get it right. Tony Tolbert, and the list goes on of guys who were just not happy with just mediocrity or just being okay. They wanted greatness in the locker room, and you have to have guys. Troy Aikman, by far, the guy I can tell you right now, he was never satisfied, ever. Practice could go great. He could throw 10 touchdown passes in practice, and there was something wrong. And that's why a guy like Troy Aikman has 3 Super Bowls.
So
he's talking about a team of dogs, right?
Yeah, he is.
Not so much just the offensive line, but just a team of dogs.
That's
true. A pack of dogs.
And I did a rod.
That is true.
Yeah.
But I did want to focus specifically on the offensive line, because the offensive line is one spot where I think, like, universally people agree there's loads of talent. And more often than not, though not perfect, is they have lived up to their talented moniker. Because I think there's other spots on the team where you're like, I think they're talented, but they're not living up to what we expect them. And I think the offensive line is one spot where you're like, yeah, no, I feel pretty good about that. But do they have the type of dogs that you need? Do they have those potentially angry or whatever it needs to be to fit that classification?
Who are the finishers on this offensive line? When you watch them play, who are the finishers? The guys that are trying to corkscrew that defender into the ground after a play. Who is that guy? Who are those guys? Are there any guys on this current roster or current offensive line, excuse me, that is that kind of finisher?
I hear Lyle Collins.
That's the name that I was going to go with.
Collins is a good finisher. I think Zach Martin's a really good finisher.
Yep.
I think Tyron Smith has got some mean to him, but he's such a quiet guy the way he goes about things. I've seen him finish. I've seen him on some, you know, when you watch those draw plays and he just takes that right hand and guy goes up the field and he just hammers that defender and that defender goes flying 6-7 yards more up the field. You know, you see him in some blocks trying to, you know, the difference between Darren Woodson's offensive line and the one he currently watches is the finish. You know, those guys that he played with were mean, nasty. Yeah, you know, I don't want to say cheaters, because that seems like our show theme today is about cheating.
We discussed it yesterday. Gamesmanship.
Gamesmanship. But, you know, I told a story about Reggie White and how he just despised playing against Eric Williams. You know, I think there's probably, if you interview certain defensive linemen around the league, they would say, I hate playing against Zach Martin. I hate playing against Tyron Smith. I hate playing against Lyle Collins. I think the word dog can't apply to these guys, but I think you could apply it to those 1990 offensive linemen.
Is that problematic?
Is it problematic? You know, we see these guys every year get voted into all pro teams. You know, Pro Bowl teams.
Let me ask you a quick question about that.
Whether it's right or wrong, I'm just saying, I know watching that crew play back in the 90s, that was a mean, Nate Newton, mean, nasty. Eric Williams, mean, nasty. Mark Tuane, mean, nasty. These guys here, I think, are mean, but I don't know how nasty they really are.
Okay.
Not that I do. I shouldn't say that. I know how. I don't see a nasty team. How about that?
Okay.
I'll say that because I watch them enough. I should have an answer for that, and I do.
I've got a couple questions. Is that nasty, like, nature kind of come from the head coach? And also, wasn't part of the reason for bringing Greg Hardy onto this team back when they did that, wasn't kind of the thinking there to bring that kind of...
Again, that's why I asked the question, though, Shippy. Is this dogs about a team or dogs about an offensive line? Because I'm looking for the dog on the team. I'm looking for that dog.
Yeah.
You know, that people talk about, oh, well, DeMarcus Lawrence and all that, you know. I think Robert Quinn's got a little of that to him.
You seem to dismiss DeMarcus Lawrence as that person just then, though. Did you not?
I think DeMarcus Lawrence will do whatever he has to do to have success. That they may, and again, here we are with the cheating aspect, and I'm not, but I'm talking, you know, Eric Williams used to hit Reggie White in the throat, poke him in the eye, you know, hit him in the lower body area, you know? I mean, you know, yeah. That's why Reggie hated playing against him, because he would do things above and beyond. Who on this team, on this current team, is a above and beyond kind of guy?
Yeah, and that's a great question, and I don't really have...
That's a dog.
I don't have a good answer for that, because all of the people that we were just mentioning and that we would think of, I don't necessarily think that. Who at the linebacker level is that person? Maybe Sean Lee, but he can't go... I mean, like, he's an older dog who can't go out there like that.
There's Sean Lee's game is... I think Sean Lee's got some nastiness to him, but I don't think it's like an every-down nastiness. Eric Williams, every-down nastiness. You know, go back. He's talking about Charles Haley. If you want to talk about a team, they had some nasty players. And I mean nasty, not from the, you know, disrespect. I mean, they tried to hurt you when they played you. You know, they did. Darren Woodson was a nasty player. He tried to hurt you when he hit you and when he tackled you. That's the way he played. So I think when we start talking about different eras of Cowboy football, that is a totally unique area. And to try and even think that you can even obtain that type of nastiness for your team, I think it's unrealistic.
So you would not identify that as being like of the problems that this franchise might have or of the things that they need to solve. That's not on
Michael
the list.
Michael Irvin asks about, they need some dogs. Need some dogs. Need some dogs. Need some dogs. You know? And I'm thinking, Michael, man, you watch this team. You watch this team. You're asking for something you can't see. You don't know. You know it. You know there's not that dog on this team. And is it the right kind of guy thing? Is it that mentality? Good, hard-nosed, tough players? You know? Yeah, that's what they try and do. I get it. But there are some guys on this. You look around the league. There are some dogs. There are some mean, nasty players that you know, we identify and we say, okay, man, that guy, yeah. Okay, yeah. But this team, I think you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a handful, and I guarantee you the Tolos out there listening, and they're going to try and fire a bunch of names at me, and I guarantee I could turn around and say, really? Really? You know?
Khalil Mack instantly jumps to mind as a nasty player because people were asking for more specific examples.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald
strikes
me as a nasty player who will smash your face into
the ground.
See,
that's what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to be a cheap shot guy. I'm asking you to play with – I'm asking you to do whatever it takes to get the job done. You know, if I have to, you know, I've got talent – but what extra, what above my talent am I going to do to cause problems? Eric Williams was not the most talented offensive tackle in the National League, but he was mean. But that's how he got around the lack of some of the talent he had.
What was the incentive then? Because you wanted to, it was strictly because you wanted to win. Is it because you knew you were lose your job? I'm curious, like, what the incentive
hungry
is
guys.
Now.
Hungry guys.
Okay.
Look at that. Is there any first round picks on that offensive line? Larry Allen was a second round pick. Yeah, there's not a first round guy that you say, oh, this is one of the Tyron Smith, one of the best to play. Zach Martin, one of the best to play. High draft picks. Those were guys that had to fight, scratch, claw for everything they got. And that might be the difference right now. You see Lyle Collins, he could have been a first-round pick if he didn't have those things happen to him in the offseason.
Yep.
But it happened, and all of a sudden he's now a free agent. So he's like, man, I've got to fight. I got to fight to get my check, you know.
But once you get – I'm curious because this ties into something that I've been fascinated by a long time, and I know it's different for every single person. Just looking across the league, do you get a sense for like maybe a percentage or something like that of people who once they get paid, they lose whatever edge? Because I know there are some players who they are driven to be great because it's internal and all of that. But how often are those players in the league?
Yeah, see, that's the argument that you can have. That when you get hundreds of millions of dollars or you get millions of dollars, whatever, that you lose that edge, you know?
That makes sense.
There's guys that I tell you what, and I know it's a different era, and I've said this before. I do believe in my heart that if Darren Woodson, we said, Darren, we're going to line up and play a game tomorrow and you're not going to play, or you're not going to get paid, he would still show up and play. You know, Brett Favre, he would still show up and play. You know, that's the guy that I want. I think Larry Allen would show up and play. That to me, that's the dog. That's the guy that loves football, the passion for the game. You know, those guys are hard to find. You know, you in this day and age, to me, I look at like a guy, okay, for example, Joe Burrow, when I watch him at LSU, I think Joe Burrow loves playing football. I think he loves going out there and competing every day, you know, whether you pay him or not. I mean, he's about to get paid.
Yeah.
He's going to get drafted by the Bengals likely or maybe Carolina, whoever.
That might kill his interest in playing.
I don't think so.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. But to me, the dog is the guy that's always had to fight. And I don't know if necessarily these guys, the Cowboys, have always had to fight.
From the 972, Jeff Heath is the nastiest player we have. Fascinating.
That's absolutely true. Look where Jeff Heath came from.
And he has to fight
every single damn day.
Absolutely. And from the 972, George Kittle, if you're looking for an offensive player with some dog in him, I think George Kittle would fit the bill.
George Kittle is a guy that has so much talent. But you know what? You look at him and you go, as a tight end, you're thinking, man, catches the ball well, runs routes well, loves the block. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying about these guys. You got to have the guy. When was George Kittle picked? George Kittle was not like Iowa put two first-round tight ends in the draft, you know, last year. You know, he's not a first-round player, but he's a guy that's very, very talented. Had to come from a long way to have the type of production. But he was always a talented guy. But he wants to be. George Kittle wants to be a great football player.
From the 214, Ron Leary was a dog.
Amen.
Whoa.
Amen. Here's a guy that was told he's got a bad knee, and we don't know when the bad knee's going to go away. You know, he didn't have perfect technique. He was strong, but he was mean. He would punch you in the lower area. You know, he would grab your throat. He's that type of guy. Ron Leary is a great example of the offensive lineman of the Cowboys that could be that was that type of guy. Ron Leary could have played with those guys in the 90s.
And then a couple other people threw out Orlando Scandrick and Dez as other people that they Orlando Scandrick strikes me as very similar for a time to the Larry Allen personality of just being an unpleasant human to be around, and maybe that translated on the field.
Orlando was just way too smart. Way too smart. He knows issues. He knows social issues. He's very, very well read, very well spoken, you know. But you start talking about, like you say, Dez Bryant's got some dog to him now.
Yeah.
Because you know what? There's another guy who'll show up and, hey, Dez, we're having a game. Favre's going to be your quarterback, and you're going to show up, and you're going to play. Yeah, I'm in. We're not getting paid, though. Oh, I'm in. I'm playing. I want to play.
Yeah.
That's the type of guy when you're scouting that you look for. You look for that guy that means more than the other guy.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.